Venezuela is in political upheaval. The authoritarian President Nicolas Maduro is holding on to power, while politicians inside his country, backed by the United States, try to force him out. It has taken years to get to this moment, and through that time, we've been checking in with a man named Carlos. We've only used his first name out of concern for his safety. The first time we talked with him was in June of 2017.
The food situation is pretty extreme. I cannot find basic food. I mean, no rice, no chicken. Fruits are very expensive. So what have really shocked me is that this past year, you can see in every street of the city, there is somebody in the garbage looking for food. And it's not a homeless person. It's a regular guy dressed up normally with a backpack or with a working suitcase looking for food in the garbage.
Carlos used to be a tour guide. As tourism in the country dried up, he started marching in the streets every day with thousands of other Venezuelans. By the time we talked with him 6 months later, in December of 2017, the protests against Maduro had stopped. Carlos told my co-host Robert Siegel it was just too dangerous.
The violence by the government increased so much. The police would come and fire to the protesters, either rubber bullets or real bullets.
Live rounds.
Yeah, it got pretty violent. So people got pretty scared.
And Carlos told us then that his hopes for the future of his country had faded.
We believed before that we were able to make a change. Now, I don't feel I can make a change. And neither do the people in the streets feel they can make a change. Once we get a job outside Venezuela, we're going to leave. I mean, it's like just the last one can turn the light off.
That was just over a year ago. Now the opposition to President Maduro has the best chance it's ever had to unseat him. Opposition leader Juan Guaido has powerful allies, including the United States and the European Union. And so we have reached out to Carlos once more. Welcome back to All Things Considered.
Thank you very much.
You are no longer in Venezuela. Where are you living right now?
Well, actually, I've been living in Belgium for 3 months. I had the very good luck to have very good friends in Europe who have been looking after me all this time. And they made me an offer that I couldn't reject to come to live with them. And they would pay also for my plane ticket. Very, very generous, loving friends of mine. I couldn't say no. And with a lot of pain, I had to leave my country, leave my family. Only my parents are there. My two sisters already left. I felt the ship was sinking. And my sisters and me, we were like, leave the country first so we can help my parents maybe leave. Or I might go back if things change. But I don't know. It's a lot of incertitude for the time.
Tell me about that decision to leave Venezuela after all of this time. Having lived there your entire life, you're now in your late 30s. You say the offer to move to Belgium was one you couldn't refuse, but it was also a difficult decision.
No, of course. I didn't want to leave. I work in tourism in Venezuela and also an actor and architect. But the TV stations closed up, so there's no more work for an actor. My tourism company will depend always on how the streets were. And if their protests exploded like it does now, we were out of a job from one day to another. So this great, great loving friends of mine, they told me to come to Belgium as a tourist, of course, for the beginning. And now we're asking for a student permit so I can stay as a student. And therefore, I can work as a student for a part-time job. So it's like figuring out. But it's very, very hard and painful for me, for my late 30s, to begin from zero in another country. And it's like frustrating.
What is daily life like for your parents? They're getting older, and it seems like the situation in Venezuela is getting progressively more difficult.
Yeah, actually, my mother, she's 60, and she tells me every day that she doesn't see a future there anymore. But my father, he has a little hopes more down. I think he's depressed as well, because he feels like at 69, he's not being able to start from zero. And my sisters and I, we tell him every day that, yes, he can start from zero, that he must find the strength to leave the country, but they don't want to. Every day for them is like making lines to buy food or manage to change some dollars that we send them to Bolivars to buy food in the black market, to buy medicine in the black market, because you don't find anything in the supermarket. My father started planting at home vegetables, so it wouldn't be so hard to go to the supermarket to find them. And well, now they're protesting every morning.
Which is why we're not using your last name out of concern for their safety.
Thank you. Because yes, so every day I write with them to check if they're back okay at home after the protest, because you never know what's going to happen.
I'd like to get your perspective on the political developments of the last month. Right now, Juan Guaido, the opposition leader, is recognized by the U.S., Europe, many other countries as Venezuela's interim president. They've declared Maduro an illegitimate leader. How do you view all of this?
Well, for us, it's great. Guaido is our hero right now. He's a very clean, he's very honest. He went to school with a friend of mine. So we think he's a fresh start for us and as interim president. And we're very, very happy and very, as well, shocked with all the support of international countries. Not all Europe is support us. For example, Italy does not support us, the Guaido. There's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of diplomacy. There's a lot of negotiation. Of course, I'm not current of all of it.
Juan Guaido has called for massive protests in Venezuela tomorrow. Is it hard for you not to be there?
Yes. My parents are going, so I've been checking up with them today. But we hope this protest is still part of the pressure. We need the military to back up on us, because currently the military are with Maduro, and they are the tipping point to change everything.
I'd like to play a clip from the last time we spoke to you in December of 2017, when you said your hope for the country had faded but was not entirely gone. This is what you said.
This little hope that I have, this little spark of hope, is every time we're getting smaller and smaller and smaller, it hasn't gone all out yet. So I'm counting on that.
How's that little spark doing today?
Well, that little spark, I think it turned up again this month. It's very funny that now with all my friends, most of them, they lived abroad for the same situation. And now we're joking like, okay, who's going back first? So there's this, like this crazy energy going on with all Venezuelans abroad. I saw the video of Venezuelan shoveling snow, singing that he was going back to Venezuela, back to the sun, once things change.
That's an incredible level of optimism.
Yes, we changed from the most pessimist from months ago, so now very optimistic. But we are very, I'm scared all this optimism to fade away. We hope not, because I think if Guaido plans doesn't work out, I really don't know what to think. I haven't even thought about it.
Thank you again for taking the time to talk with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Carlos is a Venezuelan who we've been checking in with several times over the last 18 months. Now living in Belgium, he's one of about 3 million Venezuelans who have fled that country since 2015.